Hello, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, January the 3rd, 2007. And an unusually mild January 3rd it is. And we will wonder this hour if you agree with the compilers of the annual list of words and phrases banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness this hour. And if you have other words and phrases you'd like to add to the 16 picked from more than 4,500 nominees. The Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie in Michigan's Upper Peninsula has been putting this list together since 1976. The staff picks out worn-out words and phrases at the end of each year. Words that are worn out, annoying, trite, should be banished. Words like gitmo, that's on this year's list, or actually the 2006 list, gitmo. The shorthand for the Guantanamo Bay Cuba Naval Base, that's on the banished words list, because this drives a wider wedge than a split infinitive. One of the nominators of this term says this is a word that conjures up an image of a fluffy and sweet character, when the reality of Guantanamo Bay is far from that. So, should gitmo be banned? How about truthiness? The word popularized by the Colbert Report on Comedy Central. Is that getting old? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We will welcome your reaction to these words or phrases placed on the 2006 list of banished words. And we'll welcome your nominations. What words or phrases belong on the trash heap because of overuse or misuse or general uselessness? Our guest is John Shibley, writer and photographer for Lake Superior State University and co-compiler of the Banished Words List. Good morning.
Good morning.
I always like doing this with you or your colleague, but I find that our listeners will call in with nominations of words that they think should be on the list, but they were banished long ago, so maybe the banished word list isn't banishing these words.
Well, we try not to take responsibility for formally enforcing any kind of banishment.
Yeah, you don't exactly have an enforcement division.
Well, in days gone by, we used to have a unicorn hunters club. They would also always hunt for truth and always enforce the mandate set forth by the word banishment staff. But I haven't seen a unicorn in a long time, and I don't think we've ever been able to enforce any kind of banishment that's come out of our office in a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's still fun to do, and it makes us think maybe when we use the terms. You started this out in 1976 as sort of a publicity stunt, right?
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve, 1975, and the former director of the communications office, Bill Raby, would go to a faculty's home for a New Year's Eve party, and group of them got together and been imbibing a little bit and had a spirited discussion about what words or phrases have been overused. And they said, Bill, you ought to go back and write up a list of words and release it through your UPI connections, United Press International connections. Mm-hmm. And he did, and it took off from there. And here we are 31 years later. Still doing it.
Yeah. And so apparently these faculty members were sick and tired of hearing these cliches or these overused words and said, let's
It was grist at a New Year's Eve party. Who knows how these things ever come up. We all go to cocktail parties and whatnot, and for some reason it landed on this particular topic, and that's how this was born.
Yeah. Do you have an example from the 1975 or 1976 list in front of you?
Yeah. Well, at this point in time, which was a very popular mentionism by a lot of politicians at the time, is the way they describe it right here. Call for resignation, détente, you know, that rings of the 70s, but my favorite on this first list here is pet rock.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot about the pet rock.
The pet rock, yeah, you tunnel deep enough into these word lists and it's like tunneling into the rings of a tree. It's like opening up a book and reading a history of of the decades gone by.
Yeah, so lots of examples, I assume, from pop culture and from whatever the politics of the time.
I have a feeling this first list was what was ever talked about at the New Year's Eve party.
There we go.
That's been immortalized in amber, at least.
We should get fast forward to the present here and get to the latest list. I mentioned at the very top of the hour the celebrity name combination banishment, like Tomcat, Brangelina, Bennifer. Thank you very much.
Well, that was one of the more popular nominations. We received over 1,000 nominations for that one. Like you said, the Bennifers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. If we'd been doing this around the time of Laurel and Hardy, we probably would have gotten Lardy out of it. Bog Call for Bogart and Bacall. Mm-hmm. Just seems to speak to our times where we feel the need to combine things together because we live in a culture of text messaging and email, and
yeah.
It seems sexier to have these things combined together.
Yeah, can we just banish the names of like Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan altogether?
But the problem with that is there's probably dozens of more notables waiting in the wings to move forward and have their names combined with, you know, so it's an uphill battle.
We will talk about another example from our popular culture, truthiness, coming up after this weather break. We are talking with John Shibley, writer and photographer for Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, co-compiler of the Banished Words List. We're talking about the words that should be banished from the English language from 2006. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. What words or phrases do you think are overused, cliche, trite, should be banished from the language? We welcome your nominations. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We're talking about the Banished Words List during this hour. The Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie compiles this list every year. And the banished words and phrases from 2006, just released a couple of days ago. We're talking about the winners, I guess, on the list and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest and maybe your nominations for words and phrases that you think should be banished. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We've talked about the combination of celebrity names that should be banished, words like Tomcat and Brangelina and Bennifer. So that's on the list. Another one example from popular culture, the truthiness word that was made very popular by Stephen Colbert on Comedy Central. What's wrong with truthiness, John Shibley?
There's nothing wrong with truthiness. It sort of caught us off guard with its 850 nominations. I think people are just slapping themselves in the forehead and realizing the joke's on them. And because of that, since it started out as a satirical statement about how people perceive the truth, I think they just felt it was time to retire it. So we heard a lot from nominators who just had enough of hearing that word.
Yeah. I mentioned in the introduction, Gitmo, too cutesy a word to describe a prison?
Well, you know, we've been hearing a lot from veterans on that. Gitmo's been around since 1903. It was a Morse code abbreviation that was used to send cables. Now it's sort of, it's moved into a different role, and it's interesting because it's the same sort of niche that we have with combined celebrity names, the contraction. Mm-hmm. So rather than pronouncing Guantanamo Bay, it sounds more pertinent in a media way. It even sounds sexier just to call it Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a nefarious meaning. It has the abbreviated form. It is more the way we imply it with our culture these days. People would prefer to see Gitmo retired.
Yeah, I just read the, I think it was one of the nominators of the Combined Celebrity Names nomination. It is so annoying, idiotic, and so lame and pathetic, it's lame-thetic.
Lame-thetic. Which is probably how they feel about Gitmo.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome seems like that was from the 80s.
It was. Mm-hmm. It started out as a Valley Girlism. 1984, it first showed up on our list. You can't keep a bad word down. It just reemerged for different reasons now, because people think it's been drained of awesomeness. You stub your toe, that was awesome. You get your college degree, that was awesome. So because of its flaccidity, I guess, you can just add that to this year's list and wave it off into the distance.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have still hear it quite a lot, and I notice here it was given a one-year moratorium in 1984, so you don't banish them always forever. You just
give them a warning. We put them on probation, I guess.
Yeah, in fact, I think I saw another one that was on probation this year. I'll find it. But next on the list that I have here anyway, a gone or went missing. Yeah, you hear this all the time whenever they're, a kidnapping or whatever. It's somebody has gone missing.
Yeah, a lot of our nominators ask themselves, well, where is missing if they've gone there? It's a Britishism, a British expression. It is more in line with the Queen's English, but if it gets overused, makes it fair game. It could still be grammatically correct, but if it gets overused, people can vote for it, and we'll try to take care of it on our end.
You know, I'm going to show my ignorance here. I don't even know this next one on the list, PWN or PWNED. What is that?
If you had talked to me a month and a half ago, I wouldn't have known it either. That came up through the ranks during December. And in fact, one afternoon I was in the office and I heard a student say, I pwned that exam.
Pwned?
And I said, what do you mean pwned? Well, I owned it. I said, well, why don't you say I own it? No, it's pwned. I'm using an expression on the Internet. So that made me run to my Urban Dictionary, and I looked up the expression, and sure enough, there's a story behind that. Somebody was playing an online game, and they defeated their opponent, and he typed in, I pwned you, because it's a typo. Instead of hitting the O key, there's a P right next to it, and the mistake stuck, and it became fashionable to rather say I owned or I owned you, that I pwned you. And what strikes me is that I heard it from my student, and so it's leaching from the blog sphere or from the Internet zone into contemporary speak, and That received 350 nominations in the month of December alone. So
is that funny? That I mean, I wouldn't have known how to pronounce it when I saw it. What in the world?
I didn't either. But it's one of those dark horse words. We see those every year. They're completely unexpected. They sort of float up through the ranks and end up on the list, and that's what makes this so exciting.
Yeah, and it's also from the Internet generation, too.
Uh-huh. Text messaging, abbreviation. You know, expressing yourself in an abbreviated form. So,
yeah.
Same thing.
This one, I think, is good. Now playing in theaters. Like, where else would it be playing?
Playing in theaters everywhere. Well, we've been called on the carpet for that because sometimes movies are released to DVDs or they're shown in select theaters. But nonetheless, we can stand by this nomination because 90% of the time, where else are you going to see a movie?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're trying to encourage us to go to theaters, so that's in their... That's their prerogative. So,
yeah. Here's one that I guess was given a moratorium. It was grounded for 9 months. We're pregnant.
We're pregnant.
Yeah.
We heard from a lot of women on that. As much as it's great to have teamwork, and until the process of pregnancy becomes a tag team effort, they felt that it would be something to be more appropriate if it were said that she's pregnant or I'm pregnant, if you're carrying the baby. It's not necessarily the partner who is going to be doing the down and dirty work,
mm-hmm,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we heard from a lot of women that said as long as it's physiologically impossible for a male to carry a baby, let's keep it on my side of the court.
Okay, grounded for 9 months. Now, this one I bet you're going to get a little bit of grief on, or maybe you already have. Undocumented alien has been banned.
Yeah, that's another one that floated to the top. Some people think that if you're in the country illegally, you're an illegal alien. If you're in the country legally, you're a legal alien. But undocumented is sort of a gray zone that seems to get under people's... It seems to get under people's crawl. So because of the sheer number of votes, we decided we'd throw that out there just for discussion. And that's what this list is for, too, is to get people to talk about how we express ourselves. You know, are there hidden political motives or hidden emotions that carry along with words as extra baggage.
Yeah, so the objectionable part here for those who nominated this and wanted it banished was the undocumented part. They believe that it should be illegal.
Yeah, it's that as cut and dry as it should be all the, at any time. But again, it's a lightning rod for discussion. So that's why we sometimes bite the bullet and put some more controversial phraseology out there every now and then, just so the list takes on that kind of dimension.
Yeah, I know some people who also object to the word, even though it might be the legal term, alien, in that it should be immigrant rather than an alien. Armed robbery, drug deal gone bad. We shouldn't say a drug deal has gone bad.
As opposed to a good drug deal or a good armed robbery.
Yeah, it's almost like the brutal murder. What murder isn't?
You know? Yeah. And again, this list, it sort of makes you slow down and think about what you're saying, because most of the time the words or phrases prattle out of our mouths without us really thinking about how we express ourselves.
Yeah. Ask your doctor.
At the prompting of a pharmaceutical commercial. You know, you should always maintain a good rapport with your physician, but a lot of doctors we've heard from seem to think there's undue prompting from the drug companies who want you to buy their latest red pill. So that's more of a kickback for marketing.
Yeah. Now, I may not pronounce this right. I know they had commercials on telling me how to pronounce it correctly. Chipotle.
And that's one reason why it's on our list. Because people have been tied up in their linguistic knickers trying to figure out how to pronounce that properly. When in reality, it's a smoked jalapeno pepper over dry heat. Now, when I first saw Chipotle come out, I said to myself, boy, this must be like cilantro or something. And it tasted great. I thought it tasted like smoke roasted jalapenos. And then I did some digging around, and sure enough, that's what it is. I guess jalapeno has a reputation for being too hot. Chipotle is a new way of referring to a milder form of that, hence you have a good marketing mechanism. But if we could all pronounce it correctly, it might be easier to digest.
Yeah. Just call it a roasted jalapeno.
Yeah, that might be easier and sound even more appealing to me, at least.
All right, here's one that I know that one of our listeners is going to, if he's listening, may call in about, because he gets mad at us or a guest if we say to listeners, why don't you Google something? Because it's not Google that's being banned. The word that's being banned on your list is the word search, or a one-year moratorium is being put on the word search. The nominator saying, might as well banish this. It's been replaced by Google.
Oh, he's thrown up his arms and said, hey, you know, everybody says Google now. Why don't we just wink, wink, banish search? Again, getting people to talk about how the language changes. I mean, if 10 years, 20 years from now, that Google enters the linguism as a variant of searching, that's just the way the English language is. But this serves as a nice little touch point.
Yeah. I have Dean in Viola sent an email, and he wants to consider banning mixed bag.
I don't have the all-time banished words list in front of me, but that seems like something we may have dealt with in the 80s.
Yeah, he says this is overused by weather forecast and makes me cringe whenever it's used. I have to admit I've heard that quite a bit by weather forecast, and I think more weather, and sometimes newscasters too.
Well, weathercasters we've had, well, there you go. I used to be meteorologists, now they're weathercasters because they don't have the seal of approval, I guess, anymore.
Let me check our news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about the annual Banished Words List from Lake Superior State University. Do you have some nominations? 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 6:36 on this Wednesday, January the 3rd. We're talking about the annual list of words and phrases banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. This list was released on Sunday from Lake Superior State University. It takes to task 16 words or phrases selected from more than 4,500 nominations. We're talking about these worn-out words this hour and wonder if you have any to add or ask about. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. If you've just joined us, we've gone through a number of them on the list already. The celebrity name combination, like Tomcat, was on the list. Let's ban that, cut out that practice. Awesome. It was given a one-year moratorium in 1984, but hey, it's back. Awesome. It should be banned, according to the list. How about gone or went missing? How about now playing in theaters? We're pregnant. Undocumented alien. Truthiness, that word popularized by the Colbert Report, is on the banished words list. Truthiness, enough of that already. Ask your doctor, we hear about those in those drug ads on TV all the time. And many more. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Before we get to the remaining words on the list, by the way, we are talking with John Shibley, writer and photographer for Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie and co-compiler of the Banished Words list. Let me go to the phones and take some calls. Stephen in Wausau, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to know if the phrase, we need to touch base, is on your list.
I probably said that this hour, didn't I, Stephen?
I'm not sure. But.
John Shibley is touch base. Was that ever, it's not on this year's list, but do you know if that was ever banished before?
It's on the list from 1976.
Wow.
But you're free to re-nominate it and pack the ballot box for next year's list.
Yeah, so one of the very first list it was on, Stephen.
Oh, okay. Well, right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So how can people nominate words officially?
Well, our website has a nice form on there. Go to lssu.edu. There's a button on the front page for the banished section, and from that area you can go into and read our this year's list, and you can read all the lists we've published. You can even participate in a discussion forum that we have out there. But most importantly, you can vote for the list we put together at the end of this year to be released on January 1st, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just type in a word that bothers you, we look for compelling reasons. And remember, this list is humorous, so try to think of some clever reasons for us to ban a certain word or phrase, and that helps the process along for us as well.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. Andy in Burlington is with us now. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. I've got two that are sports-related that just drive me nuts. There's a bunch of them, but in the use of the phrase, the red zone instead of inside the 20-yard line. That one just pushed about. They're trying to put some kind of technical term to it. The other one is in August when they start talking about potential Heisman candidates.
Yeah, how come that bugs you so much?
Well, these isn't everybody that plays college football a potential Heisman candidate and until the nominees come out? I mean, these guys could blow out a knee in August and never play it down.
Yeah.
And to call them potential Heisman candidates drives me nuts. Another one that pushes my buttons is shot dead. If you can't be shot wounded or shot missed, then you can't be shot dead, can you?
John Shibley?
I know somewhere on here there's something that talks about the finality of death and no degrees involved. I don't see shot dead. And potential Heisman Trophy winner, I think that could apply to me if I dropped a few pounds and maybe, you know, built up my body.
Right. Aren't we all potential Heisman candidates?
It's pretty broad, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you that one of the it's not exactly shot dead, but totally destroyed is a cliche that young journalism students are told, don't say that. If something's destroyed, it's destroyed. There's no degree of destroyed.
There's no degree. Yep. Either you're, getting back to the word pregnant, either you're partially pregnant. There's no such thing as being partial. Either is or isn't. So,
Andy, thanks very much for those. And the red zone, that must just be some sort of, I don't know, military term for football or something.
Oh, that's where they fight it out when they get close to the end zone. So I suppose the tension's high, and that's where a lot of Heisman Trophy winners prove their ilk.
Yeah. Andy, thanks a lot. Colin in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Colin.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing?
Good.
I've got a couple for you. Mm-hmm. One of them's kind of a variation, and it's for logical reasons, would you consider it? Turned up or showed up missing?
Yeah, we have went missing on the
right.
list. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I meant to say showed up or turned up missing, a little bit of a logical contradiction there.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, I can't seem to find any place in the Oxfords or Webster's on a bridge orientated or orientate.
Yeah,
when you align something, it should simply be you oriented.
John Shibley.
Orientating 1978.
so
we beat you on that one.
Somebody nominated that one already. Great.
And what was the other one?
Showed up or turned up missing.
Turned up missing 20 years ago this year, 1987.
Well, I guess people aren't listening and learning, huh?
We can only remind them.
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much, Colin. We have an emailer, I think. I don't have exactly who this is. Like, as in I like, saw an awesome like dog in the like park.
Oh, let's see. like I said, like two in 1993. 1997, like I'm like a, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, oftentimes a lot of these nominations dance around a core notion that bothers us. So we can keep dancing around the edge until we hit the nail on the head. We've got plenty of time.
One we haven't talked about that's on the current list is one that we will get complaints here at Wisconsin Public Radio about: healthy food. We have a program called Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and we'll get listeners who object to hearing heart-healthy food. They say it's healthful, and that's what your nominator is saying, too, that the tuna steak she had for lunch sounded healthy, but if my lunch were really healthy, it would still be swimming somewhere. Grilled and nestled in salad greens, it's healthful. So
that's the kind of cleverness we like to see in nominations. that really makes our life kind of exciting when we see something like that.
Stop saying healthy food. It's healthful food. This one's funny, too, because you do see this in classified ads all over the place, that a particular house boasts of something.
Yeah, the transitive adjective, if I can recall my grammatical constructs correctly. And the nominator goes on to say the bathroom apologizes for cracked linoleum. The kitchen laments pathetic placement of electrical outlets. So you get the idea. People are tired of boasting property characteristics and advertising. So
we'll go next to Dennis in Chicago. Hi, Dennis. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What do you want to nominate?
I have a phrase I'm sick of hearing. It's called in terms of. You hear that a lot, that it's like people went to college and all they can say is in terms of. And then the other word is surreal.
Surreal has to have been banished, John Shibley.
Surreal was indeed banished, and it was banished in 2001.
Hallelujah.
In terms of is something that's wonderfully from the 80s. So,
okay.
Dennis, thank you so much.
We're fighting the good fight.
Yeah. We're talking about banished words, words that may have already been banished, and the words that are on the current, the 2006 banished words list. Or is it the 2007 list, John Shibley?
We like to, since it comes out on the 31st of December, it can be considered a 2006 list, but technically it is a 2007 list because we typically release it on January 1st.
Yeah, and words that we used too much of in 2006, they ended up on the banished words and phrases list. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is John Shibley. He is a writer and photographer for Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, and he is co-compiler of this annual Banished Words list. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. We're talking about words on the Banished Words list
from Lake Superior State University. We've gone through most of them. There are 16 words and phrases on this year's list. And I think we missed, though, I anything, John Shibley.
Yes, we did.
So what is that all about?
Well, back in the late 90s, the trend was to stick a lowercase e in front of any noun or verb, and it would have sort of the trappings of the dot-com boom. Well, we dealt with that in 2000, and suddenly that little vowel shows up in front of I, as in your life, I life. We checked with Apple. They didn't have a trademark on it, and it certainly shows. We had one nominator send in a list of companies that had I in front of any number of verbs and nouns, up to 75 different products and services that offer you and I anything. Mm-hmm. So our nominators felt that that had to be dealt with like we had dealt with E anything in 2000.
Got it. Sam in Chicago. Well, we got a lot of listeners in the Chicago area. Hi, Sam.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good.
I was listening to the conversation and started thinking about George Orwell in 1984 and his concept of dumbing down the language. And then when I said to myself, dumbing down the language, I was just doing what Orwell was talking about, you know, changing the language for political gain or commercial gain these days. And it seems like truthiness to me reminded me of a factoid, which was popular at CNN for many years. They would bring in a little factoid, and is it a fact or is it a potential fact or part of a fact used to portray a political agenda? And yeah. I'm wondering if your person there could talk to that a little bit.
Factoid?
Factoid. Well, you know, I've read Orwell, and I remember him in his famous novel 1984, referring to Engsosh, which was an abbreviated form of the English language meant to convey a notion or an idea as quickly as possible with the minimum number of words required. And you look at things like Gitmo and the combined celebrity names and how our technology is driving us towards compression. Are we getting there? Is there a dark side to this kind of expression? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on who's behind that compression, you know, what level of truthiness is trying to be conveyed to us. So there's certain knobs and levers being pulled. So, you know, we need to think critically for ourselves. That's the most important thing. And hopefully that's an aspect of this list that gets through to a lot of your listeners.
Yeah. What about dumbing down anything?
Dumbing down anything? Well, you know, you want to. I was always told when I worked for a newspaper that you write for someone who reads at an eighth grade level. And I think dumbing down can be a misnomer. You try to write as clearly without as much extra baggage as possible. And if you write for an eighth grade level, that may not be a bad thing.
Yeah. And I guess I'm thinking, has dumbing down ever appeared on the list?
Let me scroll up here to the D's. We're closing on 1,000 of these nominations. We could probably write a book. Literally.
Oh, you have them all in alphabetical order?
Dumbing down has not shown up on our list yet, so that's fair game.
All right. Tom in Madison is next. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I'd like to know if there's any foreign words on the list, especially now since Spanish is spoken in the United States more. Any Spanish words like that you've added to the list other than just so-called English words?
That's a good question. You know, we have detente that was on the original list that we released, and I'm just trying to see right now whether there's anything else that is. I don't see anything really that's been imported. We've received a lot of nominations from Australia and from Great Britain that are more colloquialisms. I can't pronounce that this early. More of the vernacular, and wouldn't really make sense to anybody here in North America. That's the closest we've come to having probably a quote-unquote a foreign word show up on our list.
Yeah. Let's go next to Shay in Milwaukee. Hello, Shay.
Well, I have a couple phrases I'd like to ban. One has probably been banned before. It's think outside the box.
Oh, yeah. Please, John Shibley, that was banned, wasn't it?
Think outside the box, thinking outside the box. Close and a cigar, 2000.
Okay. And And one of the others is, that's so gay.
Well, that's a pretty current one, but...
Well, that's gay.
I hear it so often.
It doesn't have to be old. I'm hearing it a lot, too. What about that one, John Shibley?
Well, I hear it from my students all the time. Isn't that wonderful? That's exciting. That's awesome. Instead, they say that's gay, and we put that on our list in 99.
Thank you very much, Shay, for that call. Think outside the box. Of all things, I was listening to the BBC coming in early this morning, and there was some, this was in Great Britain, some office workers' survey of, you know, words that were trite or cliche or that annoyed them the most, and that one was on the current list of the most annoying because it was so outdated. That's what they're saying.
Well, I really haven't heard it in a long time. Mm-hmm. In my meetings I've been attending. I heard it a lot 10 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, these words have a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's like leisure suits.
Jill in Milwaukee. Hi, Jill.
Hi. Speaking of thinking outside the box, I have a phrase that annoys me that's similar. It's sea change. And I don't really like that phrase, I think, because it reminds me of, excuse me, of Donald Rumsfeld, because he seemed to use it a lot. And I also don't like it because it makes me think that people accept a new idea just because it's something different. It's a sea change. It's representing something different without really thinking about whether or not it's a good change.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It just annoys the heck out of me.
Yeah.
That's a phrase I'd like to see banned.
Yeah, John Shibley is...
Well, that's pre-Rumsfeldian. That was dealt with in 2000 before Donald Rumsfeld got his hands on it. But I agree, yeah, it implies a certain suction that pulls you along whether you want to or not.
You know, I'm wondering, I guess I almost thought that the phrases, maybe these are too political or too raw right now, cut and run and stay the course. We just heard those so much this year.
Believe it or not, they were contenders. We had Decider... starting creeping up in December, but it didn't quite get the number of nominations. Surge is starting to make a real hit. At one point, it was last year, we almost banned Dom Rumsfeld because people who were supportive of him were tired of him being a lightning rod, and people who weren't for his policies were just plain tired of him. But I was overruled by the committee. I was a staunch supporter of putting Don Rumsfeld on there, but the rest of the committee said, nope, we don't want to go there. So
yeah, I'll get in trouble for this. How about Strategery? Isn't that the mispronunciation?
Oh, my goodness. Nuclear. That's something. That was in 1979. People who remember Jimmy Carter, he used to pronounce that incorrectly, but long before George W. did. So.
Yeah. Well, now maybe it's going to be... What is it now? New direction or something? Cindy in West Allis. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. In the workplace, I am tired of hearing people talk about having a conversation, or we haven't had that conversation, or I would rather people just say, let's talk about it.
We haven't had that conversation, John Shibley.
I don't see that on there at all. Yeah, but I do have the condescending good question that everybody seems to start out an answer with, so...
Yeah. Trey in West Allis. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. The word that I would like to see banned is irregardless. And I don't believe it's a word. Something can be irregular, but how can it be irregardless?
Yeah, it's not a word, is it, John Shibley?
Oh, irregardless twice. We have irrespective in 1979 and irregardless in 1979 and 1988. So... I guess these words slowly creep into usage, and they either stay alive on their own or they just decide to fade into history. So, but I've heard, I continue to hear that as well.
We had an email from Ann in Decorah who said, moving forward, your guest already used it. I'm afraid I used it. I think I'm the one who said, let's fast forward to today or moving forward to today. So what about moving forward?
Well, we're safe for another year because moving forward is not on the list. So we have not used a banned phrase, but if people vote early and vote often, maybe they can get in it for next year's.
Yeah. All right. Pat in Watertown. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. Good morning. Two things that one is a phrase and one is the word. The phrase is, that was a lethal execution. That was a lethal gas execution. How else would it be otherwise? Why would they use the word lethal?
Yeah, lethal injection is what they're saying now.
But they said lethal gas execution.
Yeah, certainly any execution is lethal, isn't it?
Especially when it sets out as that's its goal.
So, and then my word is, when you call somebody and they answer the phone with, "What's up?" Well, the sun is, I'm standing. What do you mean, what's up?
How about was up? That had to make the list.
Well, we have what's up in 1998 and was up in 1996, so.
So stop saying that, everyone. Oh, well, this has been fun. And we, do you have like an all-time favorite or John Shibley? Is there, you say you have an all-time banished words list that you're compiling to?
Well, I have a all-time type of word that I like, and that's the pond effect that we talked about this year, something that's completely unexpected, and you don't even know what's going to be showing up until the last 2 weeks of the year, and I always look forward to those.
Yeah, so go to the website, what is it again, to make a nomination?
LSSU.edu, and there's a big yellow banished button on the right side, and then you can dunk yourself and banish them for the rest of the day.
Well, thanks again for being with us. Maybe we'll talk again next year.
Yes.
Yeah, John Shibley, writer and photographer for Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, co-compiler of the Banished Words List. These are words that are banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. 16 words and phrases on the current or the 2006 Banished Words List. You can check it out on that website as well. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in with your nominations. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.